This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
at GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Every week on Science Fantastic, we profile some of the most amazing developments that are changing the way we view the world and the universe itself. Well, with us today is an evolutionary biologist talking to us about the future of humanity. What will humans look like in the future? The book is called Future Humans, Inside the Science of Our Continuing Evolution. And we're very glad to have with us today Professor Scott Solomon. He's an evolutionary biologist at Rice University and a professor in the Department of Biosciences. And also, once again, you're listening to Science Fantastic. If you want to find out more about my work, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. We have 3 million fans on Facebook. Every week we have about 1 million fans on Twitter, and you can see the books that I've written. I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. The latest one is called The Future of Humanity, Humanity in the Space Program, as we begin to go back to the moon, to Mars, and even beyond, maybe even to the universe itself. And so once again, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. Well, once again, with us today is Professor Scott Solomon. He's an evolutionary biologist and professor at Rice University in the Department of Biosciences. And he's written a great book, I highly recommend it. It's called Future Humans, Inside the Science of Our Continuing Evolution. So does evolution have a direction? Where is Homo sapiens going into the future? So, Scott, glad you could be on Science Fantastic.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
First question for you is, how did you, as a youth, as a young boy, first get interested in science and then biology?
Yeah, so I grew up as a kid, like many kids, that, you know, spent a lot of time outdoors. And for me, I think science and nature were really kind of intertwined as a child. I spent a lot of time digging for dinosaur bones in my backyard, and although I never found
right?
any, I always imagined that I might, and I think it helped my imagination to think about maybe going off, to places beyond my backyard and to make discoveries and to explore.
So that okay, yeah, and then what got you interested in evolutionary biology?
Right. So I actually started college imagining that I would become a doctor. I was a pre-med student at University of Illinois. And, part of that was because I, at the time, didn't understand how many options there are for careers in science, in particular in biology, other than in medicine. And so I sort of thought, if you like biology and you want to have a career, that you become a doctor. And so it was during my time in college that I started getting involved in research in some of the labs of professors at my university, that I discovered that there are other ways that that people study science and study biology and apply their knowledge to make discoveries. And that was fascinating to me. But really the thing that clinched it for me was I had an amazing opportunity. One of my professors invited me to be his research assistant in the Galapagos Islands. Professor's name was Martin Wachelski, and he was working on marine iguanas in the Galapagos Islands. And he gave me just the chance of a lifetime to go down there with him, and we spent a few days camping on an uninhabited island in Galapagos and studying these marine iguanas. And I was hooked. I just thought, wow, how do I get to do something like this in my life? And that's what made me decide to apply for the PhD programs in evolutionary biology.
Okay, now, when I was a kid, I used to read a lot of science fiction. And in science fiction, universally, they paint a picture of where humans are going in the next 1,000, 10,000 years. Universally, we're going to have gigantic heads. We've been getting bigger and bigger and smarter, so we're going to have gigantic heads. We'll be bald. We'll lose our hair. We've been losing hair for hundreds of thousands of years. And we'll have very small bodies because we don't really need to be strong anymore. So we'll be gigantic brains. Now, doesn't that violate what we know about evolution? So tell us a little bit about whether or not our brains are getting bigger or, in fact, maybe getting smaller since the time of the Neanderthals.
Yeah, that's right. So you're touching on some of the trends in our evolutionary past in which our heads initially expanded dramatically. Of course, what made us distinct from our primate cousins. But then there more recently has been a trend towards to somewhat smaller heads, certainly compared with some of the other species of humans that we once shared the earth with. But if we look at what's happening today, the evolutionary forces that are at work on humans today, which is the subject that I cover in my book, Future Humans, what we see is that natural selection and other evolutionary forces are still at play, but they're operating in ways that are quite different from how they've operated in the past. So to touch on some of the specific aspects of the human body that you were asking about, the head is something that we do know quite a bit about. And actually, the size of the head has been constrained throughout our evolutionary history by having to fit through the birth canal. So the human head expanded dramatically throughout the course of our evolutionary past. But it could only become so large because babies still have to pass through the birth canal. So that has imposed an upper limit, a maximum size on how big our heads could become. But there is something interesting about what's happening today related to head size, and that is that as cesarean sections become a more and more common way for births to happen, and in fact in the U.S. they make up about 30% of all births, in Brazil they make up 50% or more of all births. And so as these cesarean sections become more common, it is sort of freeing up that constraint. The head doesn't have to fit through the birth canal, and so it is sort of freed up to become larger. Now, if we get to a point in which C-sections become the only way that births happen, and there's a number of reasons why that could happen, that would then free up our head to continue to expand to, you know, perhaps look something like the depictions from science fiction. So it's not entirely outside of the realm of possibility that our heads could become much larger in the future if C-sections become a much more common form of birth, or even if they become the only way that births happen.
Now, when a baby horse is born, within a few hours, they're able to run with the adults. In fact, it's a matter of survival if they cannot run with the adults. But a baby, I read once that a baby in some sense is like a fetus because it takes 18 years for the brain to expand in size to accommodate all the complexities of adult life and society. So it takes 18 years before we're mature and can run with the adults. And that's how big our brain is, that our brain is so big it cannot fit through the birth canal. But basically, we're a fetus for 18 years. Is that a valid comparison?
Yeah, I mean, I think you've hit on something that is exactly correct, that one of the compromises that our species had to go through in our evolutionary history.
Okay, Scott, we have to take a short commercial break, but after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of your book, Future Humans, Inside the Science of Our Continuing Evolution. And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call if you want to have your thoughts heard on 100 radio stations around the country. The number to call is 612-564-8135, and maybe you can get on national radio.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. In this hour, we're going to talk about the future of the human race. Not the future of the universe, as we usually talk about, but the future of humanity itself. Where are we going? The book is called Future Humans, Inside the Science of Our Continuing Evolution. The author is Professor Scott Solomon. He's a professor at Rice University in the Department of Biosciences. So we're talking about, well, what are humans going to look like in the future? Now, Charles Darwin once said that, well, a lot of evolution is directed by the female. The female chooses which male to mate. And then the question boils down to is, well, what do females want? What do women want? Do women want men with gigantic heads? I mean, do they want nerdy men that are super smart? Why did we become intelligent if women selected smart men, differentiating ourselves from the Neanderthals and early man? Some people say that it's not nerdy smart that women select for. It's the smart that allows you to survive, the smart that allows you to outwit enemies and provide shelter. In other words, success. Whether success is financial success or success in the jungle, that's what women want. And then the question is, a byproduct of that is a big brain. So does that theory hold up, that women basically choose which way evolution is going to go? So women choose not the so-called nerdy men, but men who are successful, whatever success means, success in the forest or success on Wall Street.
Yeah, this is a great question. So you're right that the idea that there's something other than just survival that matters to our evolution was one of Darwin's other major contributions, in addition to natural selection, the idea of sexual selection, as he called it. And so one of the things that really interested me when I was doing the research for my book, Future Humans, was to discover that we actually know much less about how mate choice decisions happen, about how sexual selection operates in humans, than we know from other species. We know actually a lot more about this process in birds and insects and many other species than we know about humans. And in part that's because we can't perform the same types of experiments on humans that we sometimes perform on other species. But some of the things that we have learned are that there are, in fact, cues that have evolved in our past to give us information in making mate choice decisions. As you said, in most species, this is typically the female who is selecting her mate and choosing certain qualities, certain attributes of the male when making those mate choice decisions. So intelligence does seem to be an important factor, not surprising, but there are other factors as well that seem to be really important in human mate choice decisions, and they have to do with actually some of physical characteristics like symmetry. How symmetrical a person's face is has a big influence on how attractive people generally find that person to be. But there are other cues as well, including body odor. So it turns out that women are incredibly good at using smell, using odor cues to actually get information about men. And so, for example, women are able to use scent and smell of a man to determine things like how closely related that man is to her. So this is thought to have evolved to prevent women from having romantic relationships with close relatives. But today, we're starting to modify those cues, right? We cover up our odors. We use perfumes and deodorants and other types of things in ways that might actually be affecting those mate choice decisions that evolved in our ancestors. So there are quite a lot of these types of cues, and we're learning more about them. But what we're seeing is that the way in which that process is playing out today seems to be quite different from how it's played out in the past.
Okay, now also in your book, you talk about computer dating. I mean, years ago, thousands of years ago, we lived in small tribes, maybe about 100 people, let's say. And so your mate choice was very limited as a consequence. You were basically a nomad going from one hunting ground to the next hunting ground. But now we have, of course, the internet, and we have computer dating. So how is that going to change human evolution?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's something that that I actually write about in the book, because as I was just describing, we use these cues in choosing our romantic partners that we're often we're not necessarily aware that those are the factors that are affecting how attractive we find a person to be. But the use of online dating or dating apps, the use of the internet in finding our romantic partners may actually be playing a really large role in our evolution today, because it can really bias who ends up meeting up with whom. So if you think about a dating app or an online dating website as being sort of an initial filtering step that might determine who ends up going out on a first date, well, in that case, there are certain types of information that are available about another person, especially some visual information, a photograph, right, a picture. But things like odor aren't certainly not available, right? So until somebody develops a scratch-and-sniff dating app, we don't have the ability to use odor cues in the same way that we would use, as you were just describing, in an in-person encounter. If you meet somebody one-on-one, whether you realize it or not, the smell of that person might actually be influencing how you feel about that person and could make you romantically attracted to that person. So these types of cues are biasing us in ways that we don't really realize and aren't necessarily paying attention to, but could lead to evolutionary changes in our ability to use perhaps new types of information. Perhaps we start to use visual cues in new ways, or we start to rely on other types of cues for making mate choice decisions.
Okay, now, on the other end of the spectrum, some people say that evolution has stopped for the most part, because of course we no longer have things like Australia. Australia was a bottleneck. It was a continent that broke off, and animals on that continent had a limited mating choice, and so evolution accelerated in Australia. That's why we have marsupials and kangaroos. But we no longer have these bottlenecks anymore. In fact, we have airplanes, and with airplanes we can cut across any bottleneck, and so as a consequence, evolution has stopped. Plus the fact that, for the most part, if you're middle class, you no longer have to worry about where your next meal is going to come from. Therefore, you're not going to choose your mate choice on that basis. So what are your thoughts about those people who think that what you see today is what you see tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked, because this was one of the main motivations for me to write my book, Future Humans, because the idea that human evolution came to an end has been fairly widespread up until recently. And what I wanted to do in the book is to basically lay out all of the evidence that currently exists that I think convincingly shows that evolution has not ended and that has continued up until modern times and is still playing out today. So there's really three main lines of evidence that I go through in the book that show that human evolution is still happening. One of those is genetic and genomic information. So when we sequence the human genome, all of the DNA that makes up the instruction manual for how to make a living organism, we can actually see the telltale signature of natural selection. It actually leaves a mark in the DNA, and we can look for that signature in our DNA and actually ask what types of genes are being affected by natural selection. And we can then get information about how natural selection has been affecting us in the past. So that's one piece of information. The other piece of information that shows that our evolution has continued comes from population databases. So a great example of this is churches. Churches tend to keep records of births, deaths, and marriages. And that information can be used by evolutionary biologists to reconstruct not only the relationships among individual people, but also the age at which women start having children. And it turns out that the age at which women start having children has actually been under natural selection. It's been evolving within just the last couple of centuries. And the consequence of this is that actually natural selection...
Okay, we have to take another short commercial break. Once again, you're listening to Science Fantastic. The book is called Future of Humans. Our special guest today is Professor Scott Solomon. So give us a call if you want to get on Science Fantastic and have your voice heard on 100 radio stations across the country. The number to call is 612-564-8135. And ask that question that you've always wanted to ask. So once again, stay tuned for the next segment of Science Fantastic.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
U.S.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg gave lawyers for President Donald Trump a temporary win in their bid to block subpoenas issued by House Democrats involving the president's financial records. Lawyers for the president had asked the Supreme Court to block the subpoenas to Deutsche Bank and Capital One for the president's financial records. Ginsburg granted their request for the stay, but it expires in only 1 week, barring further action from the court. Two North Carolina towns have canceled their Christmas parades due to fears of unspecified threats of violence from groups who plan to protest the inclusion of Confederate groups. Wake Forest said in a statement that its downtown board of directors voted to cancel this year's parade due to the potential for violence. The neighboring city of Garner canceled its own parade a week earlier, citing concerns the event could be targeted for disruption. This is USA Radio News.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995. Immediately. That's 800-605-6995. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-605-6995 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-605-6995. That's 800-605-6995. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 for your free author submission kit.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com, 818-984-6100, shopsupertea.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results may vary. Exclusions apply.
But hey, I'm buying a huge flat-screen TV so I can finally see it without my glasses.
Why not just get LASIK at the LASIK Vision Institute? That's what I'm doing.
My glasses and contacts are a pain. I'd love to finally get rid of these, but who can afford LASIK?
You can. Because the LASIK Vision Institute is offering dramatically low prices and an absolutely free consultation. Just text DO11 to 350350. The LASIK Vision Institute has already performed over a million procedures. They use the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision for a fraction of what others charge. Better vision, better value. The LASIK Vision Institute. Make this the year you finally get LASIK. For a free consultation plus an extra 20% discount, text DO11 to 350350. You'll see for free if LASIK is right for you. That's DO11 to 350350.
Science Fantastic.
Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Today we're talking about the future. Not the future of black holes or the future of the Big Bang of the universe. No, we're talking about the future of you and me and Homo sapiens and the human race. The book is called Future Humans, Inside the Science of Our Continuing Evolution. Yes, we are still evolving, but in what direction? With us today is Professor Scott Solomon. He's a professor at Rice University in Texas in the Department of Biosciences. So, Scott, when we left off, we were talking about the fact that most people would say that evolution has pretty much stopped because, well, if you're middle class, you can always have kids. There's no selection pressure being placed on you. And for that matter, there are no bottlenecks like Australia. We can have airplanes that can cut across all bottlenecks. And with computer dating, we can cut across all sorts of different kinds of bottlenecks. So what are your thoughts?
Right. So the simplest way to think about how evolution is still affecting our species today is to recognize that people have different numbers of children. And as long as that is true, there will always be an opportunity for natural selection to operate. Because whichever traits make it more likely that a person has a few more children than the other people in their population, those traits will become more common in future generations. And that's really what natural selection is. And so there have been studies that have demonstrated that this is still happening. So I was starting to talk about how church records can actually be used to get at this information. What we can see from church records, from records of birth, deaths, and marriages, is that on average, women who start having children earlier in life tend to have more children over the span of their lifetimes. So what that means is that natural selection tends to favor women who start having children at a younger age because they tend to pass on more copies of their genes to later generations. And so this is interesting because in many societies, including in the United States, women are tending to wait to start having families. So that actually represents a great example of how natural selection can be pulling on a trait in one direction, favoring earlier start to families, and society and culture can be pulling on that same trait in the opposite direction, encouraging a later start to families. So it's really not true that natural selection and evolution has stopped for us. It's merely changed the factors that are influencing the number of children that we have and also how long we survive. Those factors are being influenced by our modern lives. So another example. Go ahead.
Go on.
I was just going to say that another example of evidence for this actually comes from large-scale biomedical studies. So the Framingham Heart Study is a great example of this. It began in the 1940s in Framingham, Massachusetts, right outside of Boston. And they've been following the same cohort of people to just monitor their health since the 1940s. And they've also recruited other cohorts of people who are the children of the original cohort. So what that does is it gives evolutionary biologists the ability to look at what are the factors that are associated with people that tend to have more children versus those that tend to have less children. And they've identified certain characteristics. So some of them are a little bit, you know, more intuitive, like having a total lower cholesterol level, tends to be healthier. And so those people tend to survive longer and have more opportunities to reproduce. But there have been some other factors that have been linked in that study that I also talk about in the book.
Okay, let's take another short commercial break. And after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of future humans. Inside the Science of Our Continuing Evolution with Professor Scott Solomon. So stay tuned and also give us a call at 612-564-8135 and ask that question that you've always wanted to ask on national radio. And maybe you can get on Science Fantastic. Stay tuned.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
How would you like to hit the range tomorrow with a brand new gun? Because the United States Concealed Carry Association wants to give you a free gun right now. That's right, completely free. The USCCA is here to give every responsibly armed American the education, training, legal, and financial protection they need. And today, they're giving you not one, but four free chances to win $1,000. Simply text GCN to 87222 to get entered now, and you'll get four free chances to win $1,000 for any gun you want. Text GCN to 87222 and get entered today. But remember, these free guns won't be around forever, and you can't win if you don't enter. So don't miss out. Just text GCN to 87222 and get your four free chances to win now. That's GCN to 87222.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Today we're talking about the future. Not the future of the universe, but the future of Homo sapiens. The future of you and me. The future of the human race itself. With us today is Professor Scott Solomon, Professor of Biosciences at Rice University in Texas. The book is called Future Humans, Inside the Science of Our Continuing Evolution. Now, some people say that sperm counts have been declining among men, while female fertility rates have been rising. Now, talking about males, the Y chromosome, some people say, has been getting smaller and smaller over the millennia. And some people even predict that one day, the Y chromosome, which defines men, will disappear. So maybe in the future, we won't have men anymore. But what are your thoughts about the disappearing Y chromosome and the declining sperm count?
Yeah, this is a really fascinating phenomenon, and it's actually not unique to humans. So we've actually been able to observe the same process playing out in other species in which the Y chromosome gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And it has occurred in some other species that the Y chromosome actually ceases to exist. It actually disappears. But interestingly, what happens in those species is not that they stop having males. What actually happens is the genes that are responsible for making a male, which in our species and many others is on the Y chromosome, that gene actually ends up getting sort of copied and pasted onto a different chromosome. So in effect, a different chromosome becomes the chromosome that makes a male a male. And so we believe that if that process were to play out in humans, something similar would take place, that it wouldn't result in, you know, the disappearance of males, it would just transfer the genes for maleness from the Y chromosome to one of the other chromosomes. But the declining fertility is something that is quite concerning. And so we're seeing a rise in couples seeking fertility treatment across much of the world. And this has evolutionary consequences because it could reach a point at which the assisted reproductive technologies that are used to treat couples who are hoping to start a family, we could actually, as a species, become more and more dependent on those technologies, which by itself isn't necessarily problematic as long as those technologies continue to exist. We'd like to hope that we'll continue to develop new and better ways to treat infertility. But it could actually affect us from an evolutionary point of view if we get to a point where we really need to have those technologies in order to conceive a child.
Okay, now shifting gears and talk about women. You mentioned that in the future, women may no longer experience menopause. Now, menopause is that time of life, usually in the 50s and 60s, when women no longer can have children anymore. But you're talking about the future with no menopause? Explain.
Yeah, so menopause is actually one of those fascinating aspects of human biology that is really almost unique. It is very unusual if we look across the tree of life at other species to find a species in which the ability to reproduce stops, but that individual's lifetime continues. So why, it's hard to imagine from an evolutionary point of view why natural selection would ever favor the inability to continue to reproduce. If evolution is all about passing your genes on to the next generation, why would you ever reach a point in your life when you're unable to reproduce? So one of the theories for why menopause first evolved in humans is basically related to the fact that human childbirth is relatively dangerous compared to other species, and this is going back to what we talked about earlier with the human head being so large and having to fit through the birth canal. So as women age, the risks associated with childbirth continue to increase. It gets more and more dangerous to the mother. And so at some point, it is actually, more beneficial from an evolutionary point of view for these women to start investing.
Scott, we have to take another short commercial break, but once again, stay tuned for the next segment of Science Fantastic as we talk about the history, the future, in fact, of the human race itself. The book is called Future Humans, Inside the Science of Our Continuing Evolution. And you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call if you want to get on 100 radio stations to ask that question. The number to call is 612-564-8135.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists. Get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe. If you're looking to try to trim back the cloth on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, but I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Scott Solomon, author of the book Future Humans, Inside the Science of Our Continuing Evolution. So we are talking about the future of the human race. Well, one thing we didn't touch upon, which you touch upon in your book, is the question of birth control, contraception. For the first time in human history, just within the last several decades, we've been able to alter the whole course of the human race with contraception. How has that changed evolution, if at all?
Right. So one of the interesting things about how contraception, birth control, has affected our evolution has to do with mate choice decisions. As we were talking about earlier, Darwin recognized that when females choose their partners, that has a big influence on which genes get passed on to the next generation. And so those choices have the traits that females choose in their partners is one of the most important traits for evolution. And we talked about how odor, smell, is one of the traits that we know in humans has been used in making mate choice decisions. This is related to contraception and birth control, because studies have shown that women who are taking hormonal birth control pills lose the ability to use smell as a way of getting information about men. So it seems that like online dating, this is one of the ways in which modern life is affecting our ability to use the cues that our ancestors evolved to be able to make sort of informed mate choice decisions.
Hmm. Okay, now also in your book, you talk about the far future when we might be able to edit our genes deliberately. We have something called CRISPR technology, which allows scientists to actually tinker with the genome directly. And so what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about what happens when in the future we can have designer children and people will be able to choose the direction of their children genetically?
Yeah, so this is one of the possible ways in which our evolutionary future could really go in a completely different direction compared to anything that we've seen in our evolutionary past. And so the ability, the technology to do this actually already exists. As you mentioned, the CRISPR technology is already being used in research laboratories around the world to make precise, deliberate changes to DNA. But the reason that this could have evolutionary consequences is if we make changes to the DNA of cells that are going to be passed on to later generations. So if we edit the DNA of sperm or egg cells, those changes get passed on to the next generation, which will then pass them on to the subsequent generation, and so on. So what this means is that we have, in theory, the ability to actually guide or control our own evolution. So this could mean that, for example, we can eliminate certain genetic diseases like sickle cell disease, which is caused by just a single DNA base pair change, a single letter in the DNA alphabet, can be edited and changed to eliminate that disease. However, it could also bring about other types of changes. You mentioned designer babies. This is something that people have talked about for many years, but we're close to being able to actually do this, for better or for worse. In other words, we could choose the hair color, the eye color, and other types of attributes that don't necessarily have anything to do with survival or well-being, and they could be passed on to later generations. But we really need to understand more about our own genetics, about how these genes operate, before we can get to a point where we can be comfortable making changes without having any unintended consequences.
Now, every parent would like to get the smart gene to give to their children. However, some psychologists say that there could be hundreds, maybe thousands of genes involved in the so-called smartness of a human being. And so perhaps we're going to go overboard and have a wild goose chase finding genes for which there's no single gene, but maybe hundreds of genes that control smartness and intelligence. What are your thoughts?
Yes, that's exactly what I was alluding to earlier. So I gave the example of sickle cell disease as being something that we understand is caused by only not only a single gene, but a single DNA letter that is changed. But that is a very unusual situation. Most traits that we are aware of, and intelligence is one of those traits, is not determined by just a single gene, but as you mentioned, often by hundreds or even thousands of genes. And each one of those genes by itself has only a really small effect on the actual trait, like intelligence. So first of all, we would need to better understand what each one of those genes is. We would need to understand what precise changes to make, but we also need to be sure that those genes aren't having any other effect in the body. Very often a single gene has genes, what they do in the body is they make proteins, and those proteins can go on and do all different sorts of things. It's often more than just one role that they play in the body. So we need to make sure we understand not only how each of those genes contributes to intelligence, but also what other roles those genes might play in the body.
And wouldn't it be almost impossible to stop the spread of certain genes that are illegal? I mean, we cannot stop the flow of drugs. Genes are information. You can send it on the internet. It's just a coding of ATCG, and you can send it right on the internet as pure information. So wouldn't it be in the future a problem if certain genes are considered illegal because they're too dangerous or whatever? But how do you stop it, given the fact we can barely stop the drug trade? Any thoughts?
Yeah, you're bringing up a really important point. So exactly what you're describing is one of the concerns that that many people have about...
Okay, Scott, unfortunately we run out of time. But once again, if you want to find out more about his work, the book is called Future Humans, Inside the Science of Our Continuing Evolution. So Scott, thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic.
Thank you. It was a real pleasure.
And once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Every week on Science Fantastic, we explore the cutting edge of science, science that affects all of us. And if you want to get on Science Fantastic and have your voice heard on 100 radio stations across the country, give us a call at 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on Science Fantastic.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.